This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3936, from Monday, the 4th of September, 2023. Today's show is entitled HPR Community News for August 2023. It is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 57 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is, HPR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in August 2023.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. Today it's community news for August 2023. And joining me this evening is...
Hello, Dave Morris here.
Hi Dave, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Yes, it's good. It's quite mild and warm and pleasant in Edinburgh for a change. No more rain at the moment.
I must say I'm not feeling very well today, so okay. We'll like to keep this short if possible. So for those of you who don't know, Hacker Public Radio is a community podcast where the shows are contributed by people like you. Go to the About page for more information on HPR. And this is the community news show where we go over all the shows that have been posted in the last month. So you can basically get an idea of what's been happening, shows that you might have missed. And we also discuss anything that's happening in the community. So, Dave, can you introduce the new hosts, please?
Yes, we have one new host this month, and it's Fred Black, who we heard from being talked to by his father, I think, who's Folky, last month. So, welcome on board.
Very, very good. So what we'll do now is go through the shows that have been aired. And the first show we want to discuss is episode 3912, which was an emergency show, Biltong and Rooibos. And this was Shane Shannon giving us a taste of South Africa with some local tea and jerky.
Very good. Yes. Rooibos was all the rage in these parts at one point because McCall Smith, the guy who wrote the ladies' number one detective agency from Botswana, kept talking about it. So a lot of people in Edinburgh, I think possibly over the world, read his books, drank it. It's quite nice.
It's nice. I drink it exclusively now as my tea of choice. Because it doesn't contain any caffeine, so it's a nice, warm, refreshing drink, and you can go to bed afterwards.
Yes, it's got quite a nice sort of fruity taste to it as well, which I like.
So the following day, we had Lurking Prions Q&A, and this again was from the reserve queue. And basically, some background to Lurking Prion, and I didn't know what an MM was until I listened to the show.
Yeah.
Should we give them a spoiler, Dave?
Well, it does say in the notes.
It's not a penis. It's not a chocolate-coloured penis, that's for sure. Well, it was a nice show. It's a nice, interesting background into his start off in the Navy, etc. That's a bit of a hint for anyone who didn't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it was most entertaining. I was a bit surprised to hear his history. It was good to know.
And again, we had another reserve show, How to Deal with Blisters, and this was a technique by D&T. And oddly enough, I heard of this one many times before and have used it once or twice myself, so it does actually work.
I'd never heard this. My Mum was a nurse before I was born during the Second World War, and her technique was to lance a blister with a sterilized needle, just put it in a flame to sterilize it, and then let the blister leak out, and then put a plaster or bandage or whatever the technology was at the time to just to keep the thing. I mean, being a nurse, she was quite infection
conscious,
that's the word, thank you. So yeah, but and I've used that technique. I never heard of this one quite like this, but certainly deflating them helps a lot.
And not taking the skin away also, yeah.
Yes, oh yes, no, don't do that.
And the reason we've had so many emergency shows of late is that what we've been doing, a slight change of policy, where up until this point, when there have been free slots available in the queue, some of our long-time hosts have been rushing to fill the slots. So what we've decided to do now is, rather than do that, we're releasing shows from the reserve, well, what was the emergency queue, into the reserve queue. And there actually was a question about that, and I completely forgot to forward it onto the mail list, but I'll do that hopefully next week, before you hear this, hopefully. So back to the point about the reserve queue. The emergency queue now is called the reserve queue. So when you upload your show, you have the option of scheduling a slot or putting it into the reserve queue. When you put it into the reserve queue, Dave and I decide when to put it into the schedule. So it could very well be that we tend to work from a first come, first serve show, but quite often some hosts will upload 4 or 5 episodes to the reserve queue, and therefore we like to spread it out. If there's 4 slots like this behind each other, we'll take the first show from one host, then we'll skip over to the next first show from the next host, etc. But basically, when you put it into the reserve queue, we decide and you don't complain about it. If you want to schedule us, if you don't want us deciding for you, sorry, a bit fuzzy today, if you don't want us deciding for you, then you schedule the show yourself. We don't care. Then you schedule the show yourself. And if you follow the scheduling guidelines, that's absolutely fine as well. Did I miss anything there, Dave?
I don't think so. No, I think you've covered it. And I think that's quite a nice workable way of achieving things. As long as people are fully aware of what the reserve queue is for and how we're going to use it, so which you've just explained. So that's great.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I think this is kind of working already. I've seen some people submit shows because we have dipped into the emergency queue. So we've had a few hosts coming back to us, and we've had a few first-time hosts as well. So I think it's making the issue more visible to people. And added to that, we've also, I don't know if it's in the any other business, Dave, but we also had a slight delay in uploading one of the shows to the Internet Archive.
No, it isn't in the AOB. I completely forgot.
Okay, yeah. So they are quite often under attack, under DDoS attack now, and sometimes it's busier than others. So we're leaving at least 5 to 7 episodes in the future. If there are slots in the upcoming week, we're filling them. That's kind of our policy now, so that we have enough time to be able to deal with shows not being posted. We are currently totally reliant on the Internet Archive for our media hosting. We will be working on that in the future as well.
Indeed.
Okay, and Mr. X had a reserve show called Why the Hell Is My Audio Clipping? And waffle it may be, but it was interesting to see how he was able, the different types of attenuation. I personally couldn't tell the difference. Were you able to?
No, I couldn't either. And I think, to be fair, Mr. X himself mentioned in an email I had with him, because we're meeting up soon to record a show, that he couldn't tell himself. Although when it was on his PC, it was quite clear, he thought, but something happened along the way to make it less so.
Yeah, I think it goes through the HBR conversion process. So we convert everything out to the raw PCM file and then put it back together again. So, Lyle is obviously beating his head against the wall at this point, our resident sound expert. So, anyway, moving on. Following day, we had the community news, and there was one comment on that, and that was from DNT, who commented, grandfather clock. had a great laugh at Ken's description of the popular environment in which to enjoy one of Spoon's shows.
I think it's something about sitting in an armchair, smoking a pipe in front of a ticking grandfather clock or something to that effect, anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Needing to think about the shows was the idea.
Yeah, pondering in a Sherlock Holmesian way, perhaps.
And speak of the devil, one of Spoon's had a response to Permission Tickets, which was the next show, hopefully a useful provocation in response to the recent intriguing show by another HBR host. And
this was D&T's show.
D&T shows in response to one of Spoon's shows.
In response to one of Spoon's.
Correct. Thank you. Do you want to do the comment?
Yes. Gives a comment to the show. He says, "Breaking the spell. I look forward to including responses to some of the points you made into future episodes. Taxation can compel efforts to satisfy state orders by acceding to employment, but the extent to which a private citizen can refuse legal tender is a measure of their freedom." A lot of trigger words in there, of course. To avoid collapsing back into money talk for a while, though, I aim to report on some accessible tools.
And D&T replied to that comment, going, "Looking forward to it. In the interim, I shall procure a grandfather clock."
Yes. I need to do a show on it with it ticking.
And D&T had another show today, Emacs Configuration Part 3, which is his last in his episodes of Let's Go Through Every Single Package Installed in His Emacs Configuration. There were no comments on that one. So
no, I find it fascinating. Not that I read the details of it, but just hearing how it's all put together is rather intriguing. So yeah, it's good to know how these things are made. I found it most interesting.
Yeah, Emacs is a mystery to me, I must say.
Yeah, I've never delved that deeply. I've only got so many brain cells, so I couldn't devote them to that one as well as to Vim.
So the following day, 3919, "How I Hacked My Voice," to Kotoroto, talks about what she's doing to change her voice. And there's been quite a few comments on that. First one was by one of Spoon's. "Morphic Resonance" is the title. "Some years ago, I met someone who had been smoothing the staccato out of their voice." This is where you correct my pronunciation of that, Dave.
Staccato is the
thank you
usual
staccato
way
out of their voice. "I noticed how some people yank their emphasis around while others map layers of lilting, meaning almost musical but without singing. I also notice how speaking a different language presents an opportunity to shake out some vocal habits."
That's a very interesting comment, actually. I like that.
One thing I did notice when I moved to the Netherlands originally was when talking to the school teachers in my kids' schools, they would switch to English. At the time, I couldn't speak Dutch, so they'd switch to English. And it was funny. They'd go straight into an Australian accent, just like that. Or you could tell, "Oh, yes, I was in Cambridge for 14 years learning my vocabulary." And then back into their local Dutch accent. It was quite funny.
And now it's amazing.
And now all the kids just speak with a Californian accent. Oh my God.
Oh, yes. That's pretty common across the world, I would imagine, in the English speaking areas.
YouTube has a lot to answer for, or TikTok. Anyway, you do Tukutoroto. Yes.
Tukutoroto's response, "Lilting. That's good advice. Lilting a voice, a voice that raises and falls, is often perceived more feminine than a steady one that doesn't change pitch that much. Other slightly related term is uptalk, where pitch raises slightly towards the end of a sentence, making a statement sound more like a question. Uptalk is
what you did there.
Uptalk is often perceived feminine, although it's not exclusively feminine trait.
So, yeah, I love it. I know a lot of Australians do that, where they raise it at the end.
every sentence has got that uptalk thing at the end. Yeah, yeah, there's people on YouTube who do it. I think they've probably been told maybe you should stop doing that a little bit, and because it is quite odd, because there's no meaning in that raised part of the sentence. Is just a habit, I think.
But in your frame of reference, Dave.
In my frame of reference, exactly. So yes, yes. Yeah. Oh yes, because it does have meaning in the way some Europeans speak or English speakers speak, don't they? Yes.
DNT Roof says, hacking your voice. This was an amazing and completely unknown to me. Also, thanks for sharing that YouTube channel. Thanks.
And Toturto says, you're welcome. You're welcome, DNT. I'm glad you found this episode interesting. That YouTube channel goes much deeper in the details. There's a cool video where she's playing back voice samples from the past. So, yeah, cool.
And from hacking your voice to moseying around on an RV trip recreational vehicle trip in the Southeast USA. This, of course, is a hookah. It's part of the travel series. And this is where they toured the southwest US and visited some NASA facilities. Quite a long time ago that this was posted.
Yep. This is him planning for that point in the history of it. They'd not actually taken the trip yet, but yeah, the planning is quite interesting.
Yes.
There's a lot to think about, a huge lot to think about, especially when you're towing a large vehicle like that. You know, some routes you can't go, some hills you can't climb, some bridges you can't go under, those types of things. That's all fascinating stuff to think about, yeah.
That sounds like a song. Some bridges you can't climb, some rivers you can't cross.
Absolutely.
Right, enough of this. Following
that's day. That's a hookah's theme song, obviously.
A hookah, the musical. John Carter of Mars, which was the book, and also was kind of cool. They had the author, or not the author, but the narrator from LibriVox on. And that added a fantastic element to this whole thing.
It did, yeah, yeah. Very, very interesting. I wouldn't have expected the show to have turned out the way it did. I found it quite riveting. I have read maybe all of those books, in books. I'm not a great audiobook listener. The analysis of them and the comments, and also Mark's, didn't get his last name, did we, Mark? Mark, the narrator, his insights were very, very interesting indeed.
So Kevin O'Brien comments, hearing 5150. It was a pleasant surprise to hear 5150 again. He was a good friend, even though I only saw him at conferences. I miss him. And did he say he had invited Tracy Hulse to join the book club? Tracy's a good guy too.
I thought I heard a reference to it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was good to hear 5150. Oh, his audio is so, his network was
so brings back memories.
The number of times he was, you know, suddenly cut off in mid-sentence and stuff. All the things I listened to him. I used to listen to him on several podcasts, and it was such a shame for him.
And the following day we had episode 3922 by Trey, and it was Silent Key, and it's a brief history of the term Silent Key as applied to amateur radio. Do you ever come across this one before, Dave?
I had never come across this before. No, I do know a number of people who are into amateur radio, but I've never heard it. Does he mention he's recently lost his friend and mentor? I think that's his handle at the end, is it?
Yeah.
KB4YD, and that's a message which I don't understand.
73s is a greeting, and VA is, I don't know what that abbreviation is, and then EE means over and out.
Yeah, very sad. It's a term that means the key is silent, i.e. Morse code key, because the person associated with it has passed on, which is very, very sad.
It's but as amateur radio has been going around for more than 100 years, it has more than any other community had to deal with this, basically this issue, the inevitable death that awaits us all. And I, when I came into amateur radio first, I couldn't understand, you know, he's turned SK. And in all of the magazines, both the Dutch and the English ones, you have that, you know, section of people who've turned silent key in the last month or so.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. That's quite charming in its way. You know, it's sad, but it's also good that there's that sort of process of memory of people like that.
And quite often you'll have the widow of, you know, Handel, who recently turned silent key, is selling off the equipment to raise money for some hospice or other. That's quite often you'll see that sort of thing going past. And Tukatoroso says, my condolences, I'm sorry for your loss. Also interested in learning about silent key. I wasn't aware of that before.
Yep. And Lovebug, who is also an amateur radio enthusiast. My condolences, he says, I'm sorry to hear of Michael KV4YD's passing. Everyone in the amateur radio community mourns his passing. It's never nice to hear of new silent keys. Thank you for looking after the administration of his records.
73DE Dave M7TLB, which is James Handel. Okay, let's follow this with some guy on the internet chatting to Bumblebee about meal preparation. And this was, you know, we're getting the essence of HBR here. Changing your voice, meal preparation, silent key. You know, this is HBR right here this month, I think. And
yeah,
a lot of these are very good tips. Yeah.
Yeah. This is great. I enjoyed this a lot. This was the episodes of, I think we've said before many times, that episodes where people are discussing stuff and chatting to one another are some of the best. And this was very good. It was very, very dynamic and interesting. Lots of good tips and organizational advice and so forth. So, yeah, very, very good. I enjoyed it a lot.
And as it happens, we have decided to do something similar to this. Not a lot of the tips that Bumblebee has given, we have already implemented over the years. So now we're trying out meal preparations just at the weekend and then having them ready for the week for the entire family, because we have days where we're working from work and working from home, and Sinead is now on the trains. So she's got her intermittent schedule.
Yeah. And having all that sort of stuff prepared ahead of time and just waiting to be defrosted and heated up and stuff is great. Yeah,
pop it into your bag and bring it into work, and it's thawed out by the time you're ready to use it.
Yep. I've certainly done stuff like that, but I don't do that anymore because for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Good.
Operator had a mass quick tips for August 2023. He obviously wants to get through his huge database. I might do something like this myself. Lots of great little tips in here, some of which I'd never heard of before and some I use a lot already.
Yeah, it was a lot to come back to and ponder over. But there were obviously some real gems in there. I haven't dug back in again, but I will, because there's things there that I need following up, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, some of them I would never. He has written stream to text with keybirds. Some of them I'd not seen before, and the Yake text keyword extraction. I think he already did a show on that. So I've solved the same issue, but doing it a different way. It's kind of what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. There were no comments on that as yet. Then we had Daniel Pearson's with uncommon tools and social media. vMix to record his videos, and then Premiere, and then moved over to Ubuntu.
Yeah, largely about video editing and stuff he was talking, and a bit about social media. He's been off Facebook, he said, but he's going to go back again, he thinks, because he's losing touch with friends by not being there, which sympathize with. Yep.
Network effect, there you go.
Yep, indeed.
Now, the next day we had Karate Do by Hyper Nike, and there were two comments. I don't know, is it your turn or mine?
I'll do this one if you like. Comment from Trey, says, thank you for sharing. Long time ago, as a young adult, I studied Taekwondo, TKD, for many years, eventually earning my brown belt. It taught me discipline and forced me to develop a level of physical precision I'd been lacking. Sadly, life events intervened and I discontinued my training. A couple of decades later, I tried Ishinuro Karate, but I struggled to unlearn stances and techniques which were ingrained in my muscle memory. For fun, I tried to work through some of the TKD Pumsai forms, or the equivalent of kata, and I remember several of them. Time to get those old bones moving again. Thank you for sharing.
And Hyper Nike says, you're welcome.
Good.
So, from the reserve queue, we had an Audacity update for 23.07.02. And this is one, actually, if I had spotted it, I would have recommended that Ahuka put it into the main queue, because reserve queue should be just for shows that are not time dependent. So this is about the state of play in Audacity from the July 2023, which wasn't too long ago, but even so.
Yeah, interesting to hear, actually. I wasn't aware of that. I don't keep up to date with Audacity that much. I just use it when I need it. So I think it's been going through some funny times, hasn't it? In fact, I found a YouTube video. A guy was trying to analyze the situation of Audacity in relation to what's the other one called? The clone of it, whose name escapes me at the moment, mm-hmm. which I will recommend at some point, because it seemed to cover, it filled in gaps for me anyway. Maybe it would do the same for others.
Okay, the following day, some guy on the internet confuses everyone with some Bash nonsense. This was a fantastic episode, just of some of his functions. The way he approaches problems are becoming a lot less strange now that he has done so much more shows.
yeah, he's got some interesting approaches to things. I just find it most interesting to see how different people solve problems, because you can, you know, if you go to solve things yourself, you're often fixed in a rut of habit or something. Previous experience. See somebody else tackle it from an entirely different, maybe, set of habits or just different mode of thought is fascinating, because it opens doors for you. I certainly thought this show did that.
Yeah, fantastic. Do you want to do Trey's comment?
Yep. Trey says, good heavens. That must be copyright. Thanks for sharing this awesome show. Always good to see how different people approach similar tasks.
DNT goes, good heavens. Lots of exclamation marks. Several laugh out loud moments there with some guy on the internet here. The one I would clip and attach to my friend Fridge is, see, in open source, we provide you with the tools that, if you do not specifically say, do not download the entire internet, you will then download the entire internet. Thanks for setting up the automatic transcription generators. You're welcome. Classic, classic episodes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's true, isn't it? It's true. You know, it's... Yep. It's all about, it's like the old joke that I constantly trot out, you know, is it Laurel and Hardy? When I nod my head, you hit it. And if you say that to a computer, then you're definitely going to get clouted on the head.
Yeah.
You know, because it will go for the simplest analysis of that situation. So yeah, it's that type of thing, isn't it?
So the following day, we had some experiences with different note apps. And this is about apps to store Markdown by Lee. And Lee was the one who submitted the show about the local talking newspapers back in April 2022.
Yes. I knew I'd encountered the name before in the HBR context, and I also looked it up. Yeah, that was a very interesting show. And this one, I was amazed how many note applications he found. I really got to go and look at some of those. But it could be very useful in preparing HBR shows and that type of thing.
I thought also the reason for moving off them and continuing on with them was also quite interesting. It's just, very good synopsis of somebody's trail of thought, journey.
Yep. Good show. Excellent.
So the next day we had Ahuka playing Civilization 2 Test of Time, and going through the game.
Did you get odd audio on this show? Because my phone running whatever it is you run on phones, I can't remember names today. I'm having problems recalling. Antennapod. I wanted to call it Audacity. It would only play this audio when the screen was on.
Ooh,
as soon as it timed out, it went into sort of Dalek mode. I wonder if somebody said there was some issue.
Yeah, there was.
With shows, maybe the copy I have was downloaded very soon after it was uploaded, because I've got the futures feed on my phone. So I'm assuming that is the problem. I haven't actually tried re-downloading it to see what effect it has. But does that ring a bell to you?
Yes, we had an issue with audio, and we fixed it by removing socks from the chain and relying entirely on FFmpeg.
Okay.
And Hooker's show would have been one of the, you know, they're all posted way in advance, so they may not have got that change as yet.
Yeah. So I should go and re-download anything from that sort of era in terms of Hooker's stuff, perhaps. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Okay. The next day was what instrument was played in HPR 3905, and I was very glad to find out the answer to that question.
I answered the quiz that Archer72 posed on Matrix, and I did know it was a nickel harpa, because I can't remember where I found out about it. It might have been a Swedish person I'd been chatting to about musical instruments or something, who said, "Oh yeah, our national instrument is this," and it's related to the hurdy-gurdy, which is another instrument I particularly enjoy. So but that was great. It's a weird instrument, and it's good to hear somebody talking about it and playing it. It's excellent.
And I thought this was taking the Wikipedia article, which has been credited, and reading it out, was a good way, because it was supplemented. As he was reading the article, he was supplementing it with his own knowledge as somebody who was playing it. So it was nice.
Yeah. I was fascinated by the fact that he was obviously holding his instrument there, and occasionally you just heard sand finger against string, and you know, which made it very, very real.
Yeah.
Which you don't get from Wikipedia.
And a C.
Yeah. It's a pretty amazing instrument. But yeah, there's a YouTube channel I follow, a German lady who calls herself Patty Gurdy, who was trying to get back into using hurdy-gurdies for a sort of folk style, folk rock type of music. She had one built and told us all about how it was made and how it worked and everything. I found it absolutely fascinating. Not that I ever want to play one. It looks really quite challenging, but yeah, a fascinating instrument. I should point to the YouTube video at some point or other.
I've just gone to the page now, right there. Seems very much up my street. And the next day, Folky gave us a show on INXI, which is a command line system information tool, where he chastised us, Dave, our lack of knowledge. He called us noobs for not knowing about it. You're so noob.
He did.
Oh, don't know why I do this job, really. I don't.
I know.
It's the end of your bonus, Dave.
Yeah. I felt well slapped about there, and I told to go and stand in the corner and stuff.
Yeah.
Now, having seen the show come up, I thought, I'll just check that out, install it. It's actually really nice. I like it a lot. It's not as pretty as the one I used to use, but it's absolutely packed with information. So yeah, definitely recommend it.
I downloaded while I was doing the ironing and nearly burned my shirts. Thank you very much, Folky. Because it's a DNF install INXI away, so it's not installed by default, which is probably why it's not coming up on the Fedora forums as such as much. I don't know if it's installed on Debian by default, but it was really nice be able to. I used it this afternoon to check the status of my battery from the console. So very, very good. It's going to be added to my Ansible install script.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's definitely one that you'd want to use frequently, I would suggest. So yeah, it's fascinating to see stuff telling you about. In a different way from other tools, but in a different level of detail too.
It's kind of cool. I've normally used LSHW list hardware and read another tool that isn't installed by default, but it produces a text file, and then I just refer to the text file when I need to. But that's more a static what my system is. This is more tell me what my system is now. Very, very good. I shall be using it a lot.
Indeed.
Following day was planning for a planner. Some guy on the internet and Bumblebee discuss disbound planners, agendas, pens, and more. And for those of you, and I must say I was one of them, thinking, well, I don't think I'm going to get a lot out of this show. And at the end I was going, what? You're cutting this in two? I need to wait for the next part? then I had to download the second part and listen to that straight away.
Yeah. I suspected that I would be rooted, and I was. It was really good. The disk bound planner is not a thing I've ever come across. Not sure. I don't go looking at stationery sites as much as I used to. I don't go to stationery shops as much as I used to. But I've never seen those, but I haven't looked for them particularly. But it looks like a really nice design. For a ring binding system, a binding system, shall we say, you can take the pages in and out quite easily and that type of thing.
So, I've seen them before, but I didn't see them referred to as that.
No, the shape of the ring is such that it fits into like a T shape slot on the paper, which fascinates me. I don't know how many times you can move the paper in and out before it gets a bit raggedy around the slot, but still, it's pretty good. Shall I do the comment from Trey? Thank you for sharing, says Trey. I love the way people like you all stay so organized. I've struggled with organization all my life. tried everything from cheap planners to Franklin, brackets expensive, with little success. I eventually converted my Franklin planner to keep flight notes and checklists from my general aviation days. The best I can do now is using Google Calendar, Google Keep, please keep the flames to a minimum, and good old steno pads for note-taking, which I transcribe the important bits later. Thank you for sharing so much excellent advice. You both rock.
And my King's Hizzy, is that correct?
I think so, yes, I might say.
Interesting topic. I enjoyed this like Trey. I have note-taking down at work, but realize again with this episode, like Trey, that note and planning for my personal life is lacking. I like the idea of using a planner for both the planning and note-taking, and may try that. There you go, Dave.
Yeah, it's great. I like this. It's I could also learn stuff. I've certainly done this type of thing at work. I think I designed my own sort of logbook page and then put it in a ring binder. So, you know, you could put the date and the time and priority level for things that you wrote down about and stuff. But it was just bits of paper that got stuck on a shelf and never got used, but it felt like I was doing something useful. But, but I've never done that sort of thing at home. You done that? When I first started working, I used to get from the stationery cupboard these bound notebooks, you know, like A4 size notebooks. And then every day I would write down stuff about today I installed blur on here and today I screwed up totally and had to go and fix what I'd broken and stuff like that. So I still got them. There's a pile about, I don't know, half a meter tall of these books. And this, I don't know quite why I did it. It just felt like a way of concentrating my thoughts at the time, and maybe I learned something. I don't remember going back to look at them very often, unless it was a case of what did you do last Monday?
Yeah.
And I could answer it, but it's a sort of write things down and get it in your head type of thing, I think, for me. But yeah, fascinating.
So the following day, last show of the month, we had Crusader Kings 2, about a strategy game, which wasn't all about Crusaders. It was about other empires that existed as well, and how basically working through the gameplay and how it works. Very interesting. That's about it. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. Yes. It's hard to understand in detail when you know you can't see it and you can't experience it, but it sounded quite a challenging and complicated and therefore entertaining thing. My daughter's been telling me I should consider getting a games machine, Steam Deck or something like that. I think I'd be playing Crusader Kings 2, even if it's available, but something to do other than sitting at a computer all day. Sit somewhere else with a computer. something like that. But I don't know. Is there maybe I should be my late stage of my life getting into games a bit more again to see if that can sort of take me away from reality for a little while.
She doesn't want you working on HPR. It's as simple as that.
Yeah,
given the amount of work that you do for HBR, it's probably a good idea to get another hobby.
Honest. She was making me a list of we should try this game and this game and this game and this game. So not sure that this type of game would actually be on the list, but there'd be a whole bunch of other ones. I quite like the sci-fi ones if I can get into them. So yeah, I might do, might not, but I might do.
Okay, let's go through, that was all the shows, we have 5 comments from previous shows, and this comment was on a Huku show playing the original Civilization, and Tukutoroto says this was bringing back memories. I used to play Civilization a lot, and it's still a very awesome game. In my very first game, things went horribly wrong, and when I finally got round to having chariots, my neighbours just demolished them with their tanks. I clearly had been focusing on the wrong things at the time. I'm thinking that we should get our daughter to give it a try too and experience the one more turn behavior.
Yeah. It's good to think of your progeny getting into these things. So if they have the enthusiasm to do so, that'd be fantastic. So the next comment was on Claudia Miranda's show, which is about SSH or OpenSSH escape sequences, and it's from Windigo, who says, thanks for the episode. It feels like SSH escape sequences are secret commands, and I feel cooler for knowing about them.
Very much so, yes. And on Painting Toy Soldiers by Klaatu, where he started painting miniatures for war games, Tukatoristo says, it's a great show. I love listening to you explaining about painting toy soldiers. I wanted to add that if time needed to paint a 28mm figurine is too long, one can always try switching to a different scale. I enjoyed the 10mm ancients because they're faster to paint and look quite nice from arm's length. Note from Ken, I don't think my eyesight would be able to handle any of that without a microscope.
yeah, you'd need to get one of those sort of jeweler's glassy things. yeah, it's same here, really, same here. So we have a comment on Andrew Conway's show, The Brochs of Glenelg.
Ah,
oh, it sounds great. Yeah, it sounds like an incantation that you say in a cellar somewhere or other. By the Brochs of Glenelg. And it's from Windigo again. Intriguing show topic, he says. Not only did I enjoy your episode, but I think the concept behind it is worth exploring. We have HBR hosts across the globe, and surely each of us lives near something worth an episode. Sure. Which is a brilliant point. I do like that point. Yes, indeed.
Hello?
Yep.
Okay, cool. So let's do the mail list discussions. The mail list, by the way, is a where the HPR community discusses forum and policy agenda, that sort of thing, or general inquiries to the community. So can you do Mike's one, please?
Yes, we have an email from Mike Ray, who asks, any Gaelic speakers on the list, or Gaelic, however you like to pronounce it? Hello, Public Radio Hackers. I sent this before, but I think to the wrong address. Are there any Scottish Gaelic speakers on the list? The word Scottish is redundant in that sentence and is only there because some people think Irish can also be called Gaelic or Gaelic. I've just started to learn Gaelic on Duolingo and it has me addicted. I would like to have the occasional chat with anybody who speaks both English and Gaelic online. There was one teacher chap from Lewis, just didn't spell it right, but never mind, but I cannot remember his name. That would be Kevy, of course. I started this because of my love for Scotland and as a better use of my downtime than listening to endless books on Audible.
And I reply, I'm interested to know why you would say Irish is not Gaelic. Are you perhaps thinking that Irish people speaking English language is the Irish language? And just side note here, that happens quite a lot in the Netherlands. And I give some links to the Irish language Wikipedia website and the national broadcasters programs in Gaelic, so you can listen to Irish, the Irish language. To answer your question, I was fluent in Gaelic, having first level in a Gael school, which is the Irish language school. There we learned everything, including English, using the Irish language. That said, it's been decades since I used it, although I can still follow Munster Irish, but Galway and Donegal Irish is tough. I've been able to get the gist of some BBC ALBA programs. Can you do Andrew's?
Yes. Sorry, it takes me a moment to change.
No problem.
Find the thing to click on and move. In Scotland, this is from Andrew Conway, Scottish Gaelic is usually just called Gaelic, pronounced Garlic. I see. use it phonemically. An Irish Gaelic is pronounced Gaelic, but often prefixed with the word Irish. I understand in Ireland it's not referred to as Gaelic among speakers of the language, but only the most erudite would know that outside Ireland. In fact, my uncle, whose mother was Irish, calls it Irish Gaelic.
Yeah, that makes sense. Hi, Andrew. As I said to Ken, I don't pretend to know. I'm just repeating what some grumpy cat told me on Facebook. No, I'm not. And he also goes on to say, if I'm honest, I'm only regurgitating what somebody told me on Facebook. I don't pretend to know. I asked some questions in local forum and started a spat between a Scot who told us she only remembered enough Gaelic to fill in the forums to get out of there. Direct quote. Another lady who I guess was either Irish or just typical Facebook lurking moaning mini. Interesting. I know a guy who came to work as a contractor in a company in Ireland and specifically learned to speak Gaelic before, Irish Gaelic before coming.
Yeah.
And then was shocked that nobody was able to speak it with him.
Yes, yes.
And they have a good ad on the TV, you know, anti-racism ad, where they have a guy, a non-Irish guy coming into the pub and he's speaking Irish with the barman and some bigot tells him to fuck off back to his own country. Sorry there. And then, you know, they're talking in Gaelic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That could be real. It could definitely be a real situation.
Okay, in the last topic, in case of emergency, this is a discussion we had. I think it would mix. We had King Hazy please do a show telling us how to pronounce your handle? Thank you. I think it would make sense to share some other way of contacting the individual, for example, by phone. This could be done informally among a couple of people who somewhat trust each other. And it seems like a reasonable precaution to me. Unfortunately, my understanding is the missing in action individual that helped bring up this question already had their phone number, so it's not foolproof, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, Dave, what else do we do?
Well, we have a few jottings under any other business.
Go for it.
So, yeah, I just made some notes about how we're getting on with the site migration process. So we've obviously moved the HBO site to the new location, and we've been implementing all of the features there during August and a little bit before, and we've been updating links on documentation pages which were wrong. I think there still are a few that need work, but I've not checked. We've moved RSS feeds from the dynamic part of the site to the static site. I think there's still some that haven't been moved, but I'm not again.
No, we haven't done. Sure. You've generated the.
I've made them for you, but they've not been validated yet. Okay, I should have asked you first. We've made the comment forms work the same as before, so you get a different form depending on how old or ahead of the current date the show is when you go to the comment form. We've made tags clickable, but there's more work to be done there. There have been Unicode problems, which have been mentioned before, and there were still some issues which I think we've solved. Not seen any evidence that they're not solved anyway. We fixed small bugs like the software got the calculation wrong as to when to put up the call for shows message. So, we've done that. There are a number of problems that are yet to be tackled, and probably the most high priority one is making links to pictures and other supplementary files work on shows that have them. And less important, perhaps, is making links in comments clickable. We've had a number of helpful problem reports, but they've been mainly through the HBO channel on Matrix. And just to say that you can raise issues on the Gitti site, but you need to have a username to authenticate first before you can do that. That's something that was implemented by Josh. So quite reasonably. Anything you have to point out that's problematic, let us know, and we'll add it to the queue and process it.
Yeah, and to give you some idea of the time, where the updating the documentation links is, while you've been doing all the cool stuff, fixing Unicode and all that, I've been doing the immensely boring task of checking all the old links, fixing them, converting them to HTTPS, removing redundant page, consolidating everything into the about page, and I still not finished. So it's soul-destroying work.
I know.
I'm getting through it. So yeah, the links are being fixed. It's just taking a long time to do it.
Yep. We did get a comment saying, oh, they're all wrong on this page, but I think it was one of the pages that had been effectively made redundant by consolidating everything into one page. So it was if the page gets lost, then there won't be anything to do. So
and so it's going to be a while before those are fixed, maybe hopefully before the next community news show. And what else on that? Yeah, there's, even though I'm just currently I'm taking the loose independent pages that we had and putting them into one big about page with anchor references in it. So I still need to go through that and fix up to date everything once mm-hmm. I've done all that. So it's basically take the old site, and Rowan had put them into individual pages like we had them on the old site, but now we're consolidating them into the about page, and then I'll push that up first to fix all the links, and then I'll go back and at least the about page we can edit the text, because all the documentation will be more or less in one page.
Yeah, that'll make life a lot easier. And that'd be good.
And note to everybody else, we will probably go and change the RSS links this month. Keep an eye out for that. If you haven't received your HBR shows, then tell us about it. Don't assume that we don't know about it. That would be great. Problem reports would always be great. Thank you.
Yep, absolutely.
Anything else, Dave?
Nope, there's nothing else.
Okay, I'll sign off and ask you to tune in tomorrow. Don't know what shining in is, but tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker
Public
Radio.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HBR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.